looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello and welcome everybody to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we are beginning an entire new series again this month. I just love this. I love taking just as a theme, a topic, you know, an actual core element that we are all going through, and then just being able to sit with it and have these inspiring, incredible authors show up and share with us the wisdom that they've really pulled from an experience. And it helps us so much. And you know, with Light on Living, I always like to say we're here to give you reasons to feel better. And that's just exactly where we all need to start. And with this series, the book series is called Sacred Hearts Rising. And every one of us has that sacred heart. And maybe we don't always feel it, and maybe we do, but I'll tell you, but after we get through this month of this interview series, we are certainly going to really be able to tune into our own sacredness and feel our hearts rising with just the love. And I want to say a big thank you to Brenda Hammond for attracting the most incredible people, incredible, brave, courageous, strong, like ready to like stand in their space and say, I'm here and I can help you. So I, first of all, oh my goodness, I'm just so excited. I am going to be welcoming Debbie Bebo to as our first co-author in the book here. So first of all, Debbie, mother, author, artist, and poetry. I love this. You write beautiful poems. I'd like to welcome you, Debbie. Hello.
Hi there. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. It's so such an honor.
Oh, you know, and I know that is with you. I have had the pleasure of being able to get to know you just a little bit. And, you guys just have such power in your connection from co-write. Like, you guys have really reached out and turned this book into like a whole new circle. Can you share I have to ask you this. Can you share, of all people, you're a good spokesperson for this, what co-authoring in an anthology like this has brought to your world?
Oh man, the people I've met because of it, the authors, everyone who's connected with this book, they all know how to heal from trauma because they've done it themselves. They've been through it and they know how to. I went to the summit last year and I just felt so loved and so welcomed. And it was just incredible meeting all these people that can help each other.
I love that you said that. Thank you. It's from healing from trauma. And we all have our own, and you have yours, and you write about it. Then you share a little bit, just so that people can connect, the listeners right now, they're tuning in to say, you know what, that's the trauma that I'm kind of, you know, healing from or with it, or the changes that I like to see come from it. Can you just share just a little bit about your story and why this came about for you?
Sure, definitely. Well, about 4 years ago, I was raped, and I called the police. Police came out and told me it was my fault and forgot to take evidence, didn't give me the correct, proper procedure to tell me to go to the hospital or anything. They lacked a lot of everything, training, empathy. I said basically no more. I won't accept that kind of treatment. So I contacted Sarah Krause from Global News, and we made a formal complaint with the RCMP, and we made changes.
I love how you said that. I know there's so much wrapped into that, and I don't want to say I'm sorry you went through that, because in a weird way, it's like, my gosh, you've turned it. So like, there's no, you've already made this empowering. So I want to you said, I won't accept this treatment. Mm-hmm. Was that a place that you were always able to come from, or was that a new thing that you finally went, that's enough?
I've always been like that. The way I was raised, was raised on a farm, and we were loud and proud about what happened. My mom always talked openly about everything, and if something was unfair, you better make sure it changes for other people.
Justice seeker. Yeah. Well, no, that is good because you had that role model. And so when you say that I won't accept this treatment, and you didn't say anymore. So it wasn't like this had been something, a string of bad treatment, lack of empathy from a lot of people. This was, you realized that you were in a very situation, a very painful situation that you mm-hmm. did not, that there was a lack of something going
on.
Yeah,
and I expected him to, you know, take my statement free of personal judgment, be professional. I called you because you're there to help me. You're here to support, serve, and protect me. That's why you're here. And instead, I didn't get anything what I expected. And if I'm not the only one. If it can happen to me, it happens to so many other people. And maybe they can't speak out about it, but I can. And so I used my voice as a platform to be able to say, this is what you need to do if this happens. Just go to the hospital, and you'll get an officer assigned to you. And that way, you're going to be felt believed. You don't have to go through what I did.
I like that you said, if it happened to me, then you had that recognition. Like, you, it almost feels like you had, did you instantly recognize a responsibility? Like, did you feel it upon yourself? Like, wow, it's my duty to do this, my responsibility to help others.
First it came from, I'm not going to be treated like this, and something needs to change.
And your
process isn't working. When a process doesn't work, it needs to be changed. I'm a problem solver. And that was a huge problem for me. I was not, from a customer point of view, I wasn't being treated with any kind of respect at all.
That is so awesome that you said that. I'm a problem solver, and that process didn't work. It's cutely funny. But I like that because, yes, that's actually one of your missions then. Your mission is like, I'm a problem solver. And
yeah.
So what was this? Or can you just repeat and share with everybody what changes were made?
Okay, so I did a three-part series on global news about it. And within 3 months, I got news that they have to give, there's no actual procedure, there's no training for officers to go out to sexual assault or domestic violence calls. They have no training, just a little bit of training, but no procedure. So I got a call from Sarah Krause saying she has amazing news for me. They now have to give this card out nationwide throughout Canada. They have to carry these cards in any sexual assault, rape, or domestic violence call. They have to give this card out that has a list of empathy and things that I wasn't told that I said I needed to be said to me were on the front. And on the back is a list of resources of phone numbers and shelters that you can go to and emergency contacts. It was just and counseling and everything that I didn't receive is what was on that card. It was just amazing.
Wow, that card sounds like it packs a punch. I have to tell you, like, that sounds like there's so much on there. You highlighted there's a difference, which I'm really grateful for, is the difference between training and procedure. And I'd love for you to take that inward just for a minute, just to share with us. If somebody's listening right now and something's not working, like what you said, this something isn't working and I need to solve this problem wherever it is in their lives. How does one get to a procedure? If they want to start making changes in their lives, more empathy in their lives for themselves, be softer on themselves, is it something that they just train themselves like a practitioner? What kind of procedures would that be for self-love to be able to stand up and say?
For me, it started with meditation and total pure acceptance of who I am, where I'm at, and that I have every single right as everyone else, and I won't. I don't take disrespect. I don't put up with that. And it from myself and from other people, I've just said, no, that's done. And if I feel at all disrespected or it's not being done right, if it's not being showed with empathy, then I have no problem speaking up and saying, hey, this doesn't work for me. Let's find a solution that can.
Okay. Can you share the name of your chapter? Because I think this really plays in there. And just speak a little bit about why the title is called that.
My title is Choices and Forgiveness. And basically, I take you through a three-course meal of what my life went through, what I've been through, and how I chose to actually learn how to forgive. It's actually a process, and you can learn how to forgive. And there's three types of forgiveness. And once you're aware of what you can do to help yourself, and then you can do it. But if you don't know, there's steps, and there's actually just like you're grieving, there's grief, there's steps in grief, and there's also steps in forgiveness. And if you understand that, you can do that, you get to an amazing point in your life.
Oh my gosh, I love that you said that. That if you don't know how to forgive, like so many people will say, I want to forgive, I just don't know how, or I can't, yeah. I've tried. Do you think it's just because they don't know the process?
Yeah, it's just to me. So I have this amazing mentor named Jay Shetty, and I was hospitalized for a month, and only 2 days before I was hospitalized in a mental psychiatric ward. 2 days before that, I had signed up for Jay Shetty's group, and it's called the Genius Group. And all that month was completely on confidence, and I learned how to meditate. I learned how to sit and be confident within my power and hold my own. And every single week there's a different topic. And it was the anniversary of the first year anniversary of when this happened. And it usually airs on a Sunday, and it aired on the day before the anniversary of what happened. And it was on forgiveness, and it taught me how to forgive right then and there. And I was done. It was like perfect.
Wow. And how long has it been since then?
It's been almost 2 years.
So a year
in, or three years.
Three years from the event. Well, okay, right, I get it. But that's interesting. So for a whole year, you didn't know how to forgive. So were you even trying to forgive at that point, though? Did you even know that you had to forgive?
I can say I forgive. I've said it, and I did, but I didn't realize how deeply you actually have to, rather than saying it. It's a whole process of physical and mental and emotional and spiritual. It's everything wrapped into one forgiveness, and just saying it doesn't actually prove that you have.
And just to highlight, because now I almost think, oh my gosh, is this correct in how I'm seeing this? Did you have to do two kinds of forgiveness, one for the I don't know what to call him, the rapist, the person who did that,
yeah,
or the as well as the police officer who did not offer the empathy that you felt? Was it two kinds of forgiveness there?
No. Both had the same impact in my life. One even worse because I was expecting help.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And so in this process, like, do you share the process in the chapter or that other people would get to learn, or?
Well, I didn't share the process, but I definitely did define the three types of forgiveness and what they mean and why it's beneficial to forgive, and how it can help yourself by showing yourself forgiveness.
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? Like, we all know and we assume, gosh, it would feel better if I could just forgive and move on. Like, we can imagine and we kind of hear that there's benefits to it, but somebody who has truly forgiven, can you share what you now know the benefits to be versus what you thought they were?
I'm happier. I'm more free, and I feel so confident. I don't feel guilty, because I had to forgive myself as well, because everything runs through your head. If somebody blames you, you immediately believe the worst, right? So you start believing it. You're like, wait a second, no. And then I had to come back and be like, no, this did happen, and it was terrible. And just because you don't feel that way. So I had to forgive. I had to forgive myself first.
That's so interesting, because you're right. It's a lot of times it does start with us. We have to first become our best friends. We have to really trust ourselves. Yeah. Like, what did you forgive yourself first, and then the next two? Like, I'm trying to walk through a process. It's funny. I've never thought of it this way.
So I did forgive myself first, because I showed empathy. If that happened to somebody else, I wanted to be treated how I would treat them. By myself. So that's how I thought of it. And so I treated myself the way I would treat somebody who first told me.
Oh, it almost sounds easier, doesn't it? When you think about it like that, take care.
Yeah. Cause you can put yourself in somebody else's shoes and say, okay, that I wouldn't stand for that for somebody else. Why am I doing that for myself? And
and
truly learn how to process and accept and allow yourself to feel that, yeah, it was awful, but we can get through this.
We can get through this. Oh, that's awesome. I think that's a t-shirt right there. We can get through this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm writing that down. That's our first. There you go. We're selling that t-shirt. Okay. there you go. So I want to ask you just about the writing of this chapter. Did you have to go through, was it, I don't want to say easy, what I do, but was it easy for you to write the chapter?
No, it wasn't. This was the most difficult thing because I'm a writer, I write poems, I'm writing a book, and it's easy when it's nobody else is reading it, but this is going to be put down in paper. This is going to be permanent. Mm. What yes. do I want to share with everybody? I wrote probably 6 versions of it, and they were all angry. And I didn't realize that the process of it was releasing it all and then just crumpling up and burning the things I was the anger. And I wrote 6 times until the last one, I was able to actually write what I learned and how I can help others.
Oh, wow.
So I got That's out huge, all their emotions. Actually. It was really amazing.
Yes. And actually, that's what I was going to say, is what even made you, did you know you had that anger in you before you started writing? Like, is that why you said yes? Like, yes, I'm angry and I'm going to write it. Or did you go,
well,
I'll write it?
I wanted to have an impact, right? So I wanted to, that would have been impactful, but that also could have been harmful to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wanted to come from a place of love and acceptance, and I wanted to share that with everybody. Yes, this happened to me, but we can get through it. And everyone can get through it if they just are aware of how I healed. So then I can show you how I healed, and maybe you can take what you need from it.
I like that. And actually, that's a good time for, if you'd like, you write poetry. And
yes.
Do you write poetry to process emotions? Or like, why is?
Yeah. When something emotional happens, I just have a desire to write. And I didn't realize this before. I thought it was motivational for other people. And then I go back and read a poem, and I'm just like, wow, this is advice for myself. This is me writing for me to help me.
I love that your poetry is advice for yourself. Oh, my gosh.
So I go back and I read it. It's amazing.
Okay. Well, if you would love to share a poem, we would all love to hear it.
Sure.
All right, guys, we get to hear a poem. Oh, Debbie, did I lose you?
Love at first sight. You're not your fault, not your fault. Remember that you will always be back.
Okay.
Always be true, honest, and kind. Be loving, and remember that your actions reflect your deep inner mind. Stop trying to rewind, stick with your shadows, make friends, and be nice. When you commit to yourself, you erase and diminish anybody.
Do we have her back?
Hello?
Deb. Hi there. We lost you a little bit on there. So what I'm going to say everybody, we caught a little bit of, but what I would love to do, if you wanted to, could we share that on, you know, on Facebook afterwards?
Oh, or for sure. And I have another poem that's about forgiveness, and that gives the, I'll send that one to you as well, because that is basically the process of how I forgave is in my poem.
Oh my gosh, the process of forgiveness, that sounds like a poem. I just love that you said that, yeah, your poetry is advice for yourself, and it is a way of sharing that with others. And yes, because I think people would like to be able to hear, and just everybody, because we didn't hear it quite here so much, it was titled Just Be You. And I think that's just even in the title of that poem alone, there's a lot. That's advice right there, isn't it? Just
yeah,
be you.
Exactly.
And where's your journey going to take you? What is your next step when it comes to writing? You said you're writing your own book.
Yeah, I'm planning on writing a book. I also am a photographer, so I've done a photo project, mm-hmm. and I want to incorporate that into my book. It's called The Skin and Mind I'm In Experience. That's the book. And the project I'm working on is called The Skin I'm In Experience. And take a look and see, and it's just, it's about being able to be raw and vulnerable, sit in your vulnerability, which is your nakedness, and then share your story with your words and be vulnerable that way. And that way you can truly heal.
Well, you actually, oh my gosh, I just suddenly did feel naked just for a second. Hold on here.
you have to feel it. You have to reveal it, and then you heal from it, right?
Right, because I was just thinking about how an author, that correlation, you know, when they first write and put it out, you, oh my gosh, you're right. It is a little bit of that nakednessy feeling and going, whoop, everybody's seeing everything. Well, maybe I want to cover this part and that part, maybe this part.
You can't edit it. Once it's out there, you can't edit it. You're like, okay, there. I posted a few of my posts and my writings on the Humans Edmonton experience, and there are typos in there. And I looked through and was looking at all the flaws, but I realized I needed acceptance by potentially not being accepted. And it was incredible.
That was neat. Hold on a second here. You gained acceptance versus, gosh, I lost it.
It's okay.
What was it you said? Okay, gained acceptance by being willing not
by
to
potentially
be
being vulnerable on being potentially unaccepted.
Oh wow, that is a good one. I'm gonna have to I'm gonna use that one for myself actually, because that's something I do a lot of. I either go, nope, I'm not doing anything until I think I can do it perfect. If it's not perfect enough, then I do. And I almost probably play a little smaller too, because then I feel a little more safe, right? Not so many people will see me naked, right?
Yes, exactly. And this was shared out to the Humans at Emerson page. I lost 200 pounds and I took a picture of my skin.
Yes.
And it was a beautiful, vulnerable shot. And I just posted it out there with my story, and it was the most freeing, amazing experience, and I wanted other people to feel the way I felt after letting go of it. It's letting go of all your secrets and whatever you want to share.
That is extremely, you are in a very, very self-loving place. And I just want to highlight that Debbie just shared that she had lost 200 pounds. And from a large amount of weight loss like that, there is skin, because, you know, that was you in there. And so you to be able to reveal that and show that is, you're so beautiful and brave and courageous to, but then I'm making it sound like it was hard. Maybe it wasn't hard. Was it hard?
Oh yeah, it really was, because the person who was taking my photographer, I have respect for him, and I didn't want him to feel or see what I felt, and I didn't want to get that close. But it was amazing the bond that we have now, because I was so vulnerable and he allowed me to be. It was just amazing. We're really, really close friends.
So you actually received the gift from him that you would have, I think, right, if we go back in a full circle here, that you were looking for that safety from the help that you had called in for during, you know, your attack, and then having it, you know, what you did eventually. And I wonder, because of that experience that you had with the police officer, that when you stepped in front of the photographer, you were so very mindful of wanting to have a bond, feel safe, and have both of you be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, well, that's absolutely beautiful. What invitation would you like to make to somebody right now? Purchase the book, buy the, you know, or come meet you. Like, what would your wish be right now? For
message me on Facebook. Let me know if you want to connect, if you resonate with me. I'm most likely going to resonate with you. This is by speaking out and being like this, I found my soul tribe, to be honest. And I mean, yeah, it's amazing. I've everybody's coming in the works and helping, and don't be afraid to ask for help, and don't be afraid to accept that you are worth accepting help. And I always thought, because I was a helper, that I didn't need help. But then I realized that's my next lesson, is receiving. And I needed to learn how to receive gracefully instead of, oh, no, don't do that, don't go out of your way. But now I accept it gracefully and am able to receive help.
That is
a big,
yes. And Brenda is just like, just as, because we do have just a minute here. How did you meet Brenda? How did you get called into this book?
Oh, randomly, I add people on Facebook, and I added Daphne McDonald. She's going to be on. She's one of the authors. Yes. I added her as a friend, and she said, you need to meet these three people. And Brenda Hammond was one of them. And I connected with her and gave her my story. And she's like, you need to be in this book. And ever since then, I've just been surrounded by people who want to help and make a difference from their stories. And I feel compelled to help through my story.
I just love that you said that. You know, we often have these earth angels that are around us, Facebook earth angels. And sometimes we're attracted to. And I'm thankful that you just shared how much being a co-author, and I love anthology so much. And I love that it's really changed your life. Now, will you be in another anthology after this?
Oh, I'm not going to stop writing, and my story hasn't ended yet, and I'm still I'm still learning and growing and using different ways to heal. So as long as I've healed and I'm learning, I want to teach other people. So.
Oh, well, I'd like to make it like I'm going to make an invitation on your behalf, actually, because you just inspired me. But I would love to say is that if somebody, this is one thing I think you'd be fabulous at, Debbie, is if any listeners out there going, I am going through something or I've gone through something and I need to ask for help and I don't know how, but Debbie sounds like the girl that could help me. I would love for you to reach out to Debbie because who knows, maybe somebody's listening right now and they have an idea for an anthology or they would like to make some change like what you did with the empathy cards. For the RCMP, and that's an invitation I would actually love. How can people get a hold of you? How can they reach out to you?
Well, you can connect with me on Debbie, I Believe You on Facebook. So it's D-E-B-B-Y, I Believe You. I've created that page other people can learn from my experience and share what they want. You can contact me there or on Facebook. I'm Debs Deb, so D-E-B-B-S and then D-E-B-B, and you could just send me a message and I'm definitely up for meeting new people that'd be awesome.
Oh, well, Deb, your support has just been incredible. And I love my new friendship with you. And just thank you so much for all you've done and for being a part of this Sacred Hearts Rising series. It's just been so much fun. I love it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, everybody, stay tuned. We're going to run off to commercial. But when we're back, we have yet another wonderful co-author of Sacred Hearts Rising. Just a minute.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of this beautiful interview series. This is Sacred Hearts Rising, and just so many stories from authors who have really healing or have healed from trauma and have really taken it to a whole new world of connecting and supporting and just being there for so many other people. And as I bring on my second co-author, my second guest here on Facebook, she has a much longer name and I'll get her to share the full name because I know you guys want to reach out to her. But I would love to welcome you, Elizabeth Gagnon. And just, I'm going to call you Liz for the rest of the show because that's how people mostly catch you by. But just for, first of all, thank you so much for being a part of this series. You have contributed a chapter of your life, and I'm just so happy that you couldn't be here to share with us just like your experience and what you're doing with all these things now. Like you've come so far.
Yeah, Sacred Hearts has taken me on a journey, a true adventure. I've written in all three books so far.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was like stepping stones for me. 1, 2, 3. So.
Yes. How many years ago? It's not like so many years, but yes. When was the first book? The first from Sacred Hearts Rising.
2018.
Yeah.
Yes, so 2018.
Yes, the 20th. Brenda has just gone. She's just gone gung ho and just attracted all the most wonderful authors here. For would you like to in the chapter that you just did with us, Sacred Hearts Rising? What was the biggest your healing experience in there?
Oh my goodness, my biggest healing experience in book three was just opening new doors and not letting the labels hold me down anymore. I shared on mental health, so it was a really rewarding chapter for me. You can see the transformation in my growth from book one to book three by just the different titles that I've given myself for each chapter as well. So.
That's actually really neat that you said that, the growth just in those books alone. Was it because of writing the chapters, or was it just that you were reflecting in your life in those chapters?
Oh, my goodness. No, Sacred Hearts has made me grow, like made me see that I matter and that I have a voice. Brenda, I started following Brenda back in 2016 when she had the book called Hear Me. And as a child growing up, I always wanted to be heard. So I reached out to Brenda and just got to know her and followed her. And I was like, I need to know what that book is about. Like just that shout out, Hear Me, right? Mm-hmm. So then I connected with Brenda and here I am today. Three-time co-author of Sacred Hearts Rising. So it's been a truly amazing transformation. And the journey with Brenda, Brenda takes you on an adventure that you, some of us are not even prepared for, but you just better buckle up and go because she's going to take you on a ride.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And I think that's one thing I love sharing with people. That's why I interview authors, is because there is such a, it's not just you as an author writing, it's the people that you meet along the way. And I love that you said about opening new doors. Were you did you know that you were ready for new doors to be opened, or did you kind of get pushed up to one and then was like, okay, I'm here, I'm at the door?
No, I wasn't ready for any of these doors to open. No, but Brenda just kind of, she was like my mama bird, right? She was kind of like, aww. I believe in you, you can do this, and you're going to fly, and we're going to do this. And yeah, it's been a real journey with Brenda, and without Brenda and being in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. She is a true hero in my eyes. She has taken me on roads that I wouldn't have ever imagined I'd be on. So yeah, I'm truly honored for Brenda Hammond.
Well, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging Brenda, because, you know, even I wouldn't have, you know, been able to do the series without her and pulling it together. When you, this is what I just hear so much of this. You, when someone is in your position and they don't think they could ever have a life like this or do this or accomplish that, or they're not heard, like if you could take the listeners through somebody who might be connecting with you right now, like that's where they feel like where you're before was. How do they get to have a Brenda in their life? Like how... do they find one? Do they just say yes and then wait for it to show up?
I guess it's different for everyone, their journey, right? I know for me, it was I needed to be heard and I needed to make a difference. And I was tired of being silent and shame, and I wanted to grow. It was just the healing time. It was right.
I like that you said, I was just tired of something. And that's maybe something that people can look at their lives and go, what is it that they might say? Or what, like, I'm just tired of this, or I'm frustrated with that, or I don't want to have this go on anymore and be able to. So your thing for being heard, when you finally realized, or, you know, that you said, yes, I can have a voice and I can speak up. Did you say what you needed to say? Did you?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, when I first wrote to Brenda, we were only allowed to write, I think, 2,100 words. I had sent her in almost 9,000.
Oh, my God. Woohoo! Liz.
It needed to come out. So there was a lot of editing. There was a lot of back and forth. And there was a lot of, okay, this doesn't need to be in there. They understand that you've been through this. And we're going to make it so that they understand how hard it really was for you. And she did an awesome job. The editing team, the team that Sacred Hearts has is amazing. And Brenda works with you. Brenda doesn't just grab your chapter. She actually works with you. She talks to you. She says, you know what? No, I think it's good. It doesn't need any more. Maybe it needs a little bit more. So she's really connected with us. And for me, it was the joining of getting to know everyone, because I'm the only one from Ontario. Everyone else is from all over, but I'm this lone bird, and she makes me feel like I'm part of the team. So
Like, yeah, their distance is no barrier here at all. I love that you're sharing about the process of this. I invite people to look up to find out, like, who, if there is something they're tired, like, sorry, I'm going to back this up. In order to heal or to get that connection, get that support, you know, writing is one way of doing this in which you have found. If you had not found Brenda or this opportunity of writing, do you think you would have gone on to write in order to heal and get through this process on your own?
Oh, no. No, I need Brenda. No. I just needed that one person to say, I believe in you, and honestly mean it. Like, when Brenda said she believed in me, she meant it. Like, you know, and I never had that growing up. I had a lot of abuse, a lot of silence and shame and neglect. So when Brenda said, you know what, I believe in you, Liz, you got this. And I'm gonna be there with you. It helps, and that's what I like. I like the sisterhood and the family connection, right?
Yes.
And the Sacred Hearts is not just a book; it's a community of friendships that have been joined. That if we wouldn't have shared our stories, I would have never connected with any of these ladies or guys, because I'm not even from that area. So
yeah,
there's
I like
a reason
that you
for
said.
Everything.
Yeah, I like that you said it's not just a book, it's a community of friendships. And that's actually often how I feel whenever I get my hands on an anthology, you know, or if I'm part of one. I just feel that there is this community and this space that's held for so many. So when a person picks up a book, they're not just literally just reading a story. They're literally stepping into the lives of, you know, from 8 to 20 people who have really come far. And would you like to just share a little bit of something you said? You know, you said the word silence a lot and about hearing, being heard. When you say you felt you lived in silence, you grew up in silence, for somebody to kind of connect with that, is that just that you weren't allowed to or you didn't feel it safe to do so or both? Can you just speak to the silent piece?
Yeah. Growing up, I was not allowed. How dare I break the silence on how dirty our family was, right? So, in that book, too, I shared about the grief of my children and that and the journey that I went through. So, yeah, I wasn't allowed to really express myself. I was allowed to be seen but not heard.
Okay.
So now I'm seen and I'm heard. So
yes, yes. Well, that was a good one about expressing, because there's a lot of pain. That's what trauma comes from. If we're not allowed to express ourselves, it just stays in there. And then you brought up mental illness. Was being silenced or having that feeling of just not being able to express yourself something that contributed to a mental illness on your side?
I was diagnosed with manic depressive at the age of 12. I had an eating disorder, which I'm still dealing with to this day. There was a lot of abuse, so there was a lot of self-harm done to myself because I wasn't allowed to express myself. So for me, it was writing. Writing saved me. Like, I would write poetry, I would write songs, I would write, but I wouldn't show it because I was scared to be punished or, you know, told that I'm over exaggerating this situation. No, my uncle really just loves me. And, you know, so it was really hard growing up. I was a mouse, and now I'm a lion, and most of my family and my friends who know me from a little girl, they're like, who is this woman? And thanks to Brenda, this is who I am. Brenda gave me my voice, and she heard me, and she knew what needed to be done, so...
I'm so happy and thankful that Brenda was there for so many people. And what you just said there, like, it's almost like when we say transformation, I'm really feeling like, you know, a lot of people are afraid. They're holding on to, well, you know, as a child, I was a mouse. That's a big thing to, did you find it difficult to let go of, or was it just part of the process as you wrote, you transformed and you just gently let go of the mouse or it grew into the lion?
I still second guess myself with certain things. But now I'm learning that if I don't try, I don't know. And I got in trouble all my life for not talking, so I might as well talk and get in trouble if I'm going to get in trouble, right?
Right. Yeah, that first way didn't work out so well. I didn't like it. Okay.
us and share with people, like, you know, if you don't try, you're not going to know, you know. Mm-hmm. You're always going to live with that regret of not knowing, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you try and you fail, oh, well, you try again. You keep getting back up, right?
Right. I love that. There's a lot of encouragement in there, too. Are you one now to encourage others to do, like, write or do whatever, express themselves? How do you encourage people?
Yeah, I'm always encouraging everyone. I'm a strong believer that we all need each other. We're all connected for a reason, either a lesson or a blessing. And for me, Sacred Heart, like all the co-authors, they're like my little brothers and sisters. I'm like, come on, you guys got this. You can do it. You know, like I'm like the cheerleader. Listen, come on, you got it. Like, you know, and when we have a hard day, we connect with each other. Where before I wouldn't have ever reached out to people. But Brenda gave me that strength. Like, she gave me that strength to, you know what, ask them how they're doing. Or reach out to them. Just see. Give them a chance, you know?
Yes, so. Yeah. I think that, and that's what it says. So, a lot of people tune in because they're looking for that. I always say, you know, Light on Living's here to give people reasons to feel better. And, you know, we don't feel that good when we're not expressing. We don't feel that good when we're disconnected or feeling alone. So the encouragement right now to step out. Now, are there anything like, this can be a big step from somebody to go from not expressing or not really, you know, to reaching out. What is the safest way that they could, somebody could go from being that mouse to a lion? What could they do to inner work that you could let them know? Like, what's the best thing to start off with before they step out?
Maybe just reach out. Just ask maybe one of the authors on our journey on how it helped us. Because I know for each of the authors, it's been different transformations and different reasons for why they shared, right? For myself, it was for healing. I shared only for healing. I didn't write to shame, blame, or complain about anyone. I just wrote to heal.
How did you know that you would heal?
I look at myself. I reflect a lot. I do a lot of reflections on life, and there's a reason why I needed to. Hello?
Oh, hello? Can you hear me?
I think I lost you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I can hear me too. Hold on. I think we're there.
All the time with Liz. All the time.
This is funny. Is it Christopher? Can you hear us? I think we're back on. Hello?
Hello?
Well, it's good that you. All right. Okay. We had a little dip there, but that's okay. Oh, I love that you said, I have to ask you now because that's just funny. Because about trying things and stepping out. You must have technical things too.
Oh my God, yes. Me and technology, we are not the best of friends.
I have a scapegoat then this time. I'm just going to blame you. No, I'm doing that with love, by the way. Actually, there's something I just absolutely was so connected to you with about because, and I'm just going to bring this up because I just love it. You love tea possibly more than I do, which this is a big stretch. But one of my favorite things is, you know, when somebody does reach out or when I'm talking to somebody, that's the first thing I always say is like, would you like to have a cup of tea? And just there's something so comforting about a cup of tea. Is that why you have a business around tea? Is it comforting?
No, for me, honestly, it started with me just having a tea party in my own home. And I celebrated all the strong women that were in my life in my area. And one of the ladies came up to me and asked me if I could do it in the community. And I was like, I don't know, I guess I could try. So I'm a person that wants to give back to all of the people who have helped me. I want to do the ripple effect, right? So I said, well, how about I do a tea party and raise funds for services who have helped me? So, and then that's what I did. And I wanted speakers because I believe that tea has a story. So I wanted a tea story. So I reached out to a woman and we're best friends now. So it's taking me on a journey. Tea has really been taking me places that I would have never gone to either. And it's all because of being able to share and know that it's okay for me to be different. It's okay to be unique, to look at life in a different way. And that was all taught to me through my transformation of Sacred Hearts.
I love that.
That I'm different, and that's okay.
Yes. And it's beautiful to be different. I mean, I'm just going to relate this to tea. Like, I don't want the same exact tea every day after afternoon. I go to my cupboard and I kind of pick my deal, lemon ginger today, chai latte there.
So, but every cup of tea is different. It doesn't matter whether it's the same cup of tea, the same thing that you're drinking every day. Each cup is different because it's the temperature of the water, the temperature, and how long you steep that tea bag.
Yes.
You know, each tea is different. There is not one cup of tea that is the same. Not one.
I love that you said that. I make my tea the exact same way every day, and every day I swear it's different. Even and then it's even different depending on me, on if I had anything before the tea, if I brought, you know. So that's a great analogy. I love that. And I love that you said it's the two things. It's about being able to share, and that's been such a great theme, and looking at things differently. So I just want to grab a hold of that, being able to share. Now, that goes right back, obviously, to your being able to express. So it's one thing if we're expressing ourselves. It's us. It's my viewpoint. It's what I feel. I think I this. But now when we share, what happens there when we open up and share?
We heal. Oh. And that's one big thing about Sacred Heart. Sharing is healing. And that's any author who has written in Sacred Hearts Rising has said that by sharing, they have healed. We're not healed 100%. There's always going to be growth. With life throws us angles all the time, but it's going to give us tools to stay strong and to know that by writing and sharing with the world that we struggle, but we still continue on.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes the tools that we receive aren't just like modalities, like, you know, meditation or this. They're the people, like what you said, the tools that you've come across are a new best friend that you've just made. And Brenda herself and her big, you know, the big bird. That and the tools really do come this way. I'm going to ask you then too. So when people come together to write in an anthology, was it, I have a funny feeling I know the answer, but was it any of the author's intentions to be like, we're going to be a number one bestseller and that's why we're writing this, or we want to sell a million books, which is fine, by the way, too. But was it any of their goals to do that?
Oh my goodness. No, I thought when I wrote in Sacred Hearts, I thought, okay, I'm going to just be a book. And I'm going to help like one or two people with my story. But then when we went international bestseller with book one, I was like, oh my God, like we're really out there. So I had told my boyfriend, I said, oh my God, like somebody in Rome is reading my story right now. And they're probably saying, oh my God, this poor woman. And for me, sharing my story, like a lot of people who bought a copy from me in my area, they've all come up to me and they've like, Liz, like, how are you the way you are? And I'm like, because I chose not to be what I was given. It was a choice.
Oh, I like that. Chose not to be what I was given. That's very interesting. I like that.
Because a lot of people say, like, how can you forgive? I forgave so I could have peace within myself. I no longer wanted them to have that power over me, that they were what controlled me and what ruled me. And I'm big on I am who I am. And no one is going to define who I am.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the power and the beauty of our own. Like, in fact, maybe not this situation at all or other situations, but when you say about, like, I'm not going to let somebody else have power over me, a lot of times that's even, we just think that. Like, the other person who may have done or they don't even know that they did or didn't do something to us, they're not thinking that most of the time. It's us. We are choosing to feel a certain way about something, about ourselves. And I love that you're showing that you can stand in this power, powerful choice, and say, but this is who I choose to be. I love what you said. I'm not going to be what I was given. And I think that's a really powerful, powerful statement there. Where does this take you from moving forward?
Oh my goodness. There's doors opening all over the place for me. But I look at all of my opportunities. I take things and I learn from them and I take them and I put them into a toolbox. And that's why my email address is a toolbox tea party, because for me, I'm building my toolbox. And my tea party is my walk. So there's messages in everything in my life. I look at life as messages. So I try something, and if it doesn't work for me or I feel like, okay, this is not going the way that I feel it needs to go, I've done my time, I'll move on now. But that doesn't mean that I just close that door completely, because that door has given me some tools.
So I want that door to know that I'm always there for them, just not in the same way anymore.
Well, we change roles, yeah. Absolutely. Do you know, I think it's important that we recognize and celebrate our growth through that experience, and to say, time to another door, another room, another experience, another possibility and opportunity to grow. And that's what I'm loving about you. And just because I do love this thing about your tea parties that you have, because you have speakers at every tea party?
Yes. Well, what I'm doing now is I'm doing tea time with Miss Liz. And what I'm doing is I'm bringing awareness to grief, abuse, and mental health. If anyone has lived with those or knows anybody and does things towards any of these three things, because these are three things I have lived with, I want them on my tea time. And I want them to share where they were and where they are now and how they got there and why they started either this project or foundation or organization. I want my biggest thing is awareness. If I would have known about some of these services, I might have gotten out a little earlier, or I might have saved someone's life by giving that service known to others.
Oh, I love that you said that. It's not just about you. Yes. Oh, wow. You are truly open-hearted. This is beautiful. You literally said, yes, I could have got out earlier, or I could have told someone else about the service. So that's your thing, awareness, so that you want to share about somebody else, what tools they can offer to somebody. You may just be the connector, like you're connecting the two.
Well, that's what I feel. I feel like I'm the messenger, right? I give you a message through my cup of tea. It's not for everyone, and I don't want everyone to say, you know what, I love Miss Liz. You know, because then I'm like, oh, there's something I'm not doing right here. Nobody needs 100% love, right? We need that balance. We need the good and we need the bad in order to grow.
Right. I want to laugh right now because you said it's not everyone's cup of tea.
And if we have all good, then we're not learning nothing. Then we start getting all these egos and, I'm the best. I'm the best. Well, you know what? If you throw in some bad, that person is self-destructive because they have no control on how to act. But if you give them good and bad, then they're balancing. So they know, okay, well, I'm going to have a bad time, but I'm going to get through it because I have the good on this side.
That's right. Yes, it's interesting because, like, I only know that I love my cup of tea because I've had many bad cups of tea.
And I've had some too. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that again. But I did it. I needed that bad cup of tea to know that, oh, not doing that again.
Yes, exactly. So what is the best way right now? If somebody says, you know what, I'm really liking this and I find this, it's very curious about the tea parties with Liz, or just how can they reach out and maybe that you do have a service that you could recommend to them. How can they get in touch with you?
Anybody can get a hold of me on my Facebook page. It's Miss Liz's Tea Parties Making a Difference. I also have my website, which is www.missliz'steaparties.com. You can reach out to me personally if you know me, or if a friend of a friend knows me. My door is open. Mm-hmm. And if I can't help you, I'll tell you, okay, well, I'm not the person, but I will find you somebody who can help you. So.
Oh. Well, that is a beautiful invitation to anybody, really, just dealing with anything. So that is beautiful. But I can honestly say I know that because every time I've put some posts out and you're just right there to say, oh, I know somebody, or I can offer some information, and awareness is. So if anybody would like to promote their services that they are offering that's really helping somebody make a difference through, as you said, trauma, abuse, and there was one more.
There's grief, mental health, and abuse. And and my door is open to men, women, and children. It's not just women. I want everyone to know that we all have a tea story in us, no matter your age and no matter your race. We all have a story in us.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Liz. I want to say just a huge thank you for being a part of the series, for supporting all the co-authors, and just for loving Brenda the way you do. And just thank you for being here with me today and sharing this time. I just so enjoyed it. So much fun.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. And everybody, I'd like to remind you that you are welcome back and invited to next Monday, as we have two more co-authors from the series, the Hearts, Sacred Hearts Rising series. So please join us next Monday. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. And bye, Liz.
Bye, dear.